As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
This is Ken and Curtis, WEEI. WEEI.
I think there's some starting tackles that certainly will come in and start in the NFL. And I think that that's, you know, really what you start to look for, right, is impact players. When you start picking that high, you know, what they're going to do for you, what's the impact, what's the position. You know, you talk about premium position, and so then that's where you kind of weigh all the circumstances and end up, you know, making that pick. So do I think that there's starters in this draft at left tackle? Yes, I do.
Vrabel press conference this week, getting ready for the NFL draft. Kenneth Curtis here. So he did mention premium position, then he also mentioned starters at left tackle. So maybe he would think about taking one later and after the fourth overall pick, but probably not to overthink it. It's probably Will Campbell, to your point earlier, Curtis, and you've come around to accept it as the okay decision to make.
Is that Occam's razor?
Who said that?
I don't know.
So my question with Vrabel is this.
Occam's razor.
Yeah, Occam's razor. I thought you were making a joke. I thought somebody botched that on the morning.
No, I was just being wiggy for a second.
Okay. You can screw it up in year one. It's hard, but you can do it, right? Gerard Mayo somehow, despite drafting Drake May, which everybody thinks was a slam dunk home run at the third overall pick, got fired a year later. And part of it's your fault. But is there any, can Vrabel screw it up in year one?
I would say the highlight of my career was getting Bill Belichick to invent a fake punt.
He didn't have his people there. He was looking for his assistants.
Oh, was that great.
His creative muse.
Oh, when I saw the write-up by, who was it, Kayan after that, I like did a jig on Broadway.
Okay, so you attack coaches. Maybe you'll do the same with Vrabel when he's on Mic'd Up Mondays. I don't know. But it seems to me like he's in a no-lose situation. I can't envision him taking the heat for pretty much anything. If the draft goes bad, Elliott Wolf gets blamed. If, you know, the season goes poorly, maybe Drake May takes heat. Maybe Kraft does for not spending more on a tackle or, you know, leaving some space out there.
If the Patriots in general are not situationally aware, that is clearly on the shoulders of Mike Vrabel. If there are issues late in game, if there's timeouts, I guess there's not really replay challenges as much anymore, but whatever, you know it when you see it. If there's a moment in the game where Vrabel doesn't have a handle of what's going on, he will be destroyed just because they'll say, what the hell do? You bring in this guy.
Okay.
But the real, the way in which we will view growth for Mike Vrabel is on defense, off the field noise. Well, the noise that was this cacophony the last couple of years of just, you know, nobody stopping, whether it's on Instagram with the, you know, was it Baker last year? Bitching about targets or like...
It was a feeling of lack of organization, right, or like no structure.
Right. If that maintains itself, if that continues, if it persists and the players that do that are retained and not disciplined, then Vrabel will get crap. Like if he doesn't stifle the noise, then that will be on him. And because he'll say, oh, it's not his players. Well, he can get rid of the player.
That's a pretty low bar for him, though. I feel like he's good at those things. He's good at clock management.
Well, then also, so if all of that is gone and he's able to get the reins of the organization, and if Drake May improves.
Yeah, but that's not McDaniels.
No.
That's McDaniels and Kraft. It'll take the criticism for that.
I guess. But if the team is losing games and Drake May is not feeling supported, that at the end is going to be on the shoulders of Mike Vrabel. Maybe initially on McDaniels.
I think it's going to be all McDaniels. There's a perception that Vrabel's just delegated authority to McDaniels. He's running the offense. So Vrabel's like, he is just coasting. I mean, he could win four games and be fine.
No way.
Yes.
They have to win seven.
Oh, seven. Do you think they can win seven?
Yes, absolutely. If Drake May is what everybody says he is, in the defense, which was their strength, is that much better. I mean, you now have Christian Gonzalez and a very good corner with him. I mean, the defense should be good, really good.
Yeah, but still definitely second best in the division, maybe third.
What, you think the Dolphins are better?
Hey, I don't know. It's questionable. Rosters are...
I think the Patriots are the second best team in their division.
So they should beat Miami then.
They should go 2-0 against the place. Jets. They'll split with the Dolphins, split with the Bills.
And if they don't, you will rip Vrabel.
Yes.
Like, he's on the hook for that. All right. I'm looking at him and thinking he's just, this guy has got it easy. This was a great choice for him to take the job here. He is in a good position. He's got a lot of shields around him to take bullets. And
if the organization just doesn't shoot itself in their foot.
Right, that's all he has to do.
But then they're going to be much better. Think about how often it's been the last couple of years.
Well, that's why there have been rumors that there's a big trade happening. They want to make a big splash or something. I don't see that. I would love it. I would love if they trade for Colton Miller the tackle and make. But I think he's going to just play it standard and just ride Will Campbell into the future.
There's one thing the Vrabel Patriots had. It was, don't get cute, do your job.
Right.
It was just line up, know your assignment, put the people that maybe aren't the most talented at everything, but they're great at the one thing you're asking them to accomplish.
So my hopes of Ashton Jeanty are gone. That's not happening.
Well, and I think Vrabel's a guy that has the cachet of not only being a Patriot that won three championships, that was the Swiss Army knife on offense and defense, he also has the ability to win playoff games in another city. I mean, he's won more playoff games outside of the Patriots than Bill Belichick has.
He's also got Belichick's experiment going on in North Carolina during the season, which would be a distraction.
For who?
Well, it'd be great for him. Like, I imagine that's going to go poorly.
It's going to be so bad.
It's going to be maybe not.
Like, look at the collection of Bobos that guy has with him in North Carolina.
Yeah, they brought a lot of talent in on the NIL market.
And he has Steven's wife, Jen, going after Jordan on Instagram. What in the world? Easter's going to be interesting in Chapel Hill, tell you that.
Yes, it will be. That's what I mean. Boring Vrabel is a winning Vrabel.
Do you think Jordan's pumped for the Easter Bunny?
Let's go back to the phones here on Kenny Curtis on the Pats. Tony in Worcester. Hello, Tony.
Hey, how are you?
Good. What's going on?
I hope that they trade back and get some more players. This team has so many needs, and this draft is so iffy. You know, we're talking about a good guard, I guess, but these other players are marginal. They could be second round players in other drafts, you know? It just seems to me like there's no clear cut choice, and there's no, you know, we should be like licking our chops about the fourth pick, but there's really none of that going on. And I think if they trade it down and maybe pair for next year with a better pick, or get some more picks this year. This team needs a lot, and they still need a lot. They're not close. They're not going to be contending for anything. They might squeak into the playoffs because the Jets and the Dolphins are junk, but I don't see them making the big jump this year, and I just hope they don't I hope they don't waste it on the number four and take
Tony,
a shot at something that may or
Tony,
may not work out.
Just to interject, Tony, if you and I and the Patriots all see nothing at four, why would there be value to trade back?
Well, I don't know for sure. I'm not even talking about this year. I mean, like, you could get a couple of picks further down the line and then get another second rounder for next year, or maybe even a first for next year. But there's got to be somebody out there that wants that fourth pick, that needs that fourth pick, and there's a dearth of. There's a dearth of quarterbacks in the league. There's a lot of teams looking for quarterbacks still. And there might be some diamonds in the rough out there that somebody's got their eye on and they really need to get them. But I just don't see the urgency to use that fourth pick.
Well, you're not wrong, Tony, but...
If there was a diamond in the rough, then you'd take him in the rough. You wouldn't trade up to the fourth pick for him.
It's the problem that they're in. I mean, yes, they absolutely should trade down. That is the 100% thing they should do, but unless somebody's dumb, nobody's trading up for that pick. It does not have the value that it does in previous years. That win screwed you. That win in Week 17 was awful. Now, here's a quote that I liked from... This is in The Athletic. This is from a story by Jeff Howe, talking about Jeanty and Tyler Warren. This is from... An executive, unnamed executive. In a year with average high round depth at premium positions, you take the best player. Jeanty and Warren were the best players on the field. So it's a bad draft. He's saying you don't take Will Campbell.
Well, Jeanty wasn't the best player in his last game.
Oh, God, you're caught up in this last game.
Well, but you mean the best
Penn
player
State
on the
had
field?
12
he wasn't the best
the
player
field.
On the field in a college game.
Okay. I mean, if we can't get past that game, go back and watch the game. That was-
I did. I watched it. Okay. They had a lot of people in the box. They were ready for him.
Jeanty is not Superman. I mean, he's
well. Then why are we using a fourth pick on him?
Because the alternative is Will effing Campbell.
If defenders in the box are his kryptonite, the NFL's not for him.
Fine, that's a bad pick.
I would not
take the boring tackle who can't play tackle.
Right,
will be a guard.
I'm sorry. I know you're thinking about your midday show, but I'm thinking about the Patriots. I don't care about sparkling items. I want the team to be good.
I would like some entertaining football.
They will be entertaining.
Jeanty makes them entertaining. Will Campbell does not.
Have you seen Hunter Henry when his quarterback has time to throw? Look out.
Yeah, Henry's ready to. Yeah, he could have a career year this year.
If there is one player that is a holdover on offense that you have faith in, who is it? Other than the quarterback, obviously.
Wait, say that again. Who?
One player that's coming back.
One player coming back on offense.
That like you think could have a big jump forward. Who would it be?
Boy, Cole Strange. Okay. Probably Kendrick Bourne. Is that flawed? I feel like Bourne could have a bounce back year.
Yeah, that's not flawed.
That's probably your best bet. You need that.
You don't have a faith in Pop?
No.
Or Baker?
I lost faith in Pop last year.
Baker, touchdown maker?
I thought Baker would get on the field. He just didn't.
Well, you thought that what's-his-face was going to be a top-10 receiver.
Let's not go back to the Laird Swift. They are few and far
between. We do a top-10 worst prediction from Ken.
Yeah, let's not do that. What we can do is trend with Zach Coe. He's got the news for you.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Red Sox beat the White Sox 10-3 last night at Fenway. Rookie Hunter Dobbins making his second major league start. He went six innings, allowing two runs, one earned on three hits while striking out six. Trevor Story stayed hot. He went 3-for-4 with a pair of three-run home runs. Here's what Red Sox manager Alex Cora had to say about Story after the game.
When he's healthy, he's 30-30. You know, this guy's really good, so... We haven't seen the healthy version of Trevor Story. My job is to keep him on the field, and I'll do my best. Plays he produces, and so far it's been fun to watch.
Game two of that four-game set against the White Sox continues this afternoon when Garrett Crochet takes the mound opposite his former team for the second time this season. Danvers native Shane Smith will get the start for Chicago. You can hear coverage of that one right here on WEEI and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Joe Weil will get you started on the Mass Mutual pregame show at 3:10. Then Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks will have the call of the game for first pitch at 4:10. NBA play-in tournament wrapped up last night. Miami Heat and the Memphis Grizzlies claim the 8th seed in their respective conferences. Playoffs officially get underway this afternoon with Game 1 in the Bucks, Pacers, Nuggets, Clippers, Knicks, Pistons, and Lakers T-Wolves series. Celtics, of course, will have to wait until tomorrow to kick off their pursuit of Banner 19. They'll host the 7th seed Orlando Magic in Game 1 of their first round series tomorrow afternoon. Tip-off at the Garden set for 3:30. We're less than a week away from the NFL draft, and according to WEEI's own Fitzy, if Penn State edge rusher Abdul Carter is on the board when the Patriots are on the clock with the fourth overall pick, the Philadelphia Eagles are planning to offer the Pats a package including wide receiver A.J. Brown for the right to select Carter. NHL playoffs also kicking off tonight. Blues heading to Winnipeg to take on the Jets, and Charlie Coyle and the Colorado Avalanche are in Dallas to take on the Stars. Trending Now brought to you by MassMutual. Don't forget to tune in to the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show this afternoon at 3:10. My name is Zach Cohen. That's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Ken and Curtis coming up after this.
This is Ken and Curtis, WEEI. WEEI.
Did they back down in Lexington and Concord 250 years ago, Curtis?
No, they certainly did not.
They did not. Should Vrabel back down in the face of Will Campbell? Yes, he should. He should take a skill player.
I mean, pretty rock-solid logic there. I don't know what I could do to defeat that. Well thought out, curated, stated.
Exactly.
I concede.
Okay, finally a win for me. It's the Ken and Curtis show. Curtis wants to be boring in the draft and take the tackle who might not be a tackle. What say you? 617-779-7937. It's also a beautiful day. God, perfect for reenactors out there today. Perfect for the Garrett Crochet walk-up today. 4:10 against the White Sox. You may be in attendance today, yes?
Maybe, yes. Look out.
Young James coming in for a 75-degree day at the ball yard. Man. Can I get one Red Sox question in before we get back to the draft? Because we do some draft calls, and I want to get...
I love the draft.
But even Greg Hill is on this Roman Anthony dilemma. Greg wants Roman here. He wants the Roman Empire to begin.
Amen.
He is just banging the ball around the yard in AAA. They've said he's got some kind of shoulder issue, which is preventing him from playing the field, which sounds like it might be invented.
Yeah.
But he is DHing. But where do they put Roman Anthony? How do you get him up here? When and how?
ASAP, it doesn't matter. I am all done with Casas. I say adios, my friend.
He hasn't played in a couple days, too.
No, I am. I have zero desire to have any. He's just, he may be a great player somewhere else. He's just not my cup of tea.
But Anthony has never played first, right? I don't think in his life. I mean,
I played first. If I can, Roman Anthony can.
I mean, I kind of agree, but then start training him up there. I mean, why not just trade Abreu and put him in right field?
Why trade Abreu? He's one of your better players.
Well, you get something good for him. Trade him now as value's high.
What if you package Abreu and Casas?
What would you get for that?
Oof, I'm the moon.
It's probably early for that, I guess, but it is a problem. You would agree. They've got a dilemma on their hands. They've got no place to put him. And
it's a good problem to have. Before, they had no talent at any of these positions. Now they got a backlog of it. So it does, though. Of all the things, like, you know, we go back to the Teal. I know Zach last week told us Teal wasn't a good prospect, but why you would retain all these similar players and not trade, you know, and not retain a catcher, something like that, it was an odd decision. But We'll see. I Roman Anthony is the best prospect in baseball. When was the last time the Sox had the number one prospect in baseball?
Not to mention Meyer. I mean, bingo, bango, 1-2.
Right.
This is Heim Bloom. Did you solid. He got you set up here.
You better get a ring.
You better get a ring. But back to football. Let's go to the truck and talk to Nate. Hello, Nate.
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen?
How are we?
Hey, I called last week, and it's Curtis. I don't get you, buddy. Like, they said it all week long. How many guys have we actually hit in the draft in the past 5 years? You know what I mean? You got to get an impact player, and you got to get the top guy in the position, in their position. When you're talking about Campbell, he's not the top guy because you're talking about Mambu, you're talking about Banks, you're talking about possibly Simmons, but he's got a knee problem.
You so why is he the top guy, tackle then? What do you mean? Like, Will Campbell is the number one.
He's
tackle
not a top tackle. If you're starting to talk about, oh, he possibly might turn to a guard, stuff like that. Nope. You're going to start to change the guy.
Ken, is Will Campbell the top tackle in the draft?
He's the consensus. I would say top tackle.
Okay, yeah. So what are we talking about?
So why? If you look at, so do me a favor, look at some of the mock drafts. He's not. They got Mambu sometimes in front of him. So
there's
he's not the top
numbers.
Guy.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. So consensus, if you're looking at Jensen, do they have put all the mocks together? Will Campbell is the number one tackle in the draft.
Okay, so he's got the more percentage of that. But if you look at Genty, right?
Well, that's what consensus means.
What's his name from UNC? Is he from UNC in front of him? No. Is Loveland, is somebody in front of Warren? Loveland in front of Warren? No. So what I'm trying to say is you got to get
that
impact.
It's not a premium position.
You don't get that impact.
Tight end is not the same as tackle, Nate.
But you need an impact player, correct?
You need a player that can allow your most important player to have more impact.
Yeah, and that's what happens with Tyler Warren. If you have Tyler Warren there and you could throw him the ball, he can actually move the chains for you, correct?
So right, when, Nate, if you have somebody protecting your blind side, which is the most important. On a football team, I would go quarterback, elite cornerback, left tackle, in that order.
Okay, so once again, there's no Joel Ault in this draft. So I'm sorry. If this guy is going to be another bust, if they draft this guy, and in 2 to 3 years they turn him into a guard, is that a pass or a fail?
I don't know.
That's a fail. You're right. It's a fail.
I would take the tackle over a tight end, and he is a consensus.
Curtis wants to be a stick in the mud. He wants to be boring.
I am. I love boring. I was born bored.
You want another guard. You want a Cole Strange. That's fine.
You know what? Baseball, not boring. That's what Brad Foe says.
I am worried about taking a tight end that high. I'll agree with you on that. We talked Tyler Warren last week. I like Brock Bowers, but most of them are fails.
You know what bad teams like? Shiny objects. Fans of bad teams love cool, shiny things.
A tight end's not even shiny, really. I mean, it can be.
A pass-catching tight end.
Yeah, I do like passes. I do like catches.
I love catches law.
Gets you out of the seat that you let. Kraft might be appealing. Do you think Kraft will meddle at all in this one? One way or the other, draft-wise?
No, Kraft is too busy laughing himself to sleep looking at the UNC Tar Heels.
Do you want to talk to our man Danny? He's checking in early today. Danny from Quincy. Good morning, Danny. How are you?
Kenny, Puerto Rico, two-day blackout, man. You know?
I saw that. So Jamaica's the place, huh?
Well, Jamaica loses power, too, you know? Oh. I mean, they haven't in a while, not 2 days. But anyway, but during the hurricane,
it's like the Patriots without Brady. They just lose all their power.
Yeah. Well, Curtis, I heard you earlier say, cost him his marriage. His marriage definitely cost him his employment with the Patriots. I can tell you that right now.
Of the three, only one cared about winning completely. The other two did not. It's a sad state of affairs, but it's the truth.
Giselle was instrumental
in helping
Giselle.
Him. We could talk about, why don't we talk about Bill Belichick? What is going on with your man, Danny? What happened to him?
Okay.
He's reinvigorated. Well,
Danny, what happened to him? What's going on?
He'll be back.
Okay, you don't have
to
answer
Danny.
What happened to Bill Belichick?
I'm not paying attention to that stuff.
Right. Oh, you're not paying attention. You're focusing on Giselle Bündchen. Why aren't you focused on Bill?
Well, you mentioned it earlier. You said Giselle. I mean, his career cost him his marriage.
Right. So you
want to
talk about Giselle? I'm talking about Bill's lady. What's going on?
I don't know. I can't fathom a 70-something-year-old guy going out with a 24-year-old. God bless him if he can.
What do you think about her being a coach on the sideline?
Yeah, no, it's not something I'm paying attention to.
Right, we were talking about Brady.
Let's live in the present.
So I'm just curious, what's going on?
What's the future here, Danny? What's the draft?
You can't win in the NFL without a pass rush. Pass defense is predicated on being able to disrupt the quarterback pre-first read. That's the reason. Brady lost 2 Super Bowls because of a pass rush, and Mahomes lost 2 because of a pass rush. So on defense, if you can't get the quarterback, and I know it sounds vanilla and just simplistic, and on offense, you need an offensive line. And they blew it. They could have had Tunzel, they could have had Tooney, and they should have kept Andrews. They would have been freed up to pick other players in the draft. Because what good is a wide receiver if May is running for his life or on the ground? I mean, it's ridiculous. None of that matters. And as far as Vrabel goes, he's 54-45 in 6 years, and he's 2-3 in the playoffs. So, okay, it's not bad, decent, but
that would be twice as many playoff wins as Bill has without Brady.
Oh, here we go again, Curtis.
Here we go again.
You're going to say that's a bad record. I mean, Bill would do anything for that record.
Well, no, I'm just saying that Tennessee's record. I mean, I'm not saying he's a bad coach, but I'm saying the jury's out. He's been out of coaching for a year. Vrabel, that is, and then he purged just because they were Belichick guys. He purged some of the players. I mean, Joe Milton was a waste of an athlete. They could have used him, even if you didn't want him, use him as a backup quarterback to preserve the delicate balance of Drake May. If that's the case, then what does that say about Vrabel? That he let that happen?
I don't like that.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
I agree with that.
They have a lot of winning players on that team. Should have retained them.
Yeah, well, they could have used him for something else.
Joe Milton sucks, Danny. You sound like a pink cat.
Wide receiver, 6'5", 250. What's that?
Joe Milton is an afterthought.
Better than Cam Ward.
You think he's better than Cam Morris?
Look, from a couple of previous calls, says the team is, they need athletes on their team. They need personnel. They have a lot of holes to fill. You don't start right. cutting play. They can't afford right. to cut anybody.
What is the number one commodity in all of sports?
The number one commodity in all of sports or in
right.
football?
No, in all of sports. What is the number one position?
Ticket sales.
In all of sports.
It's a number one starting pitcher in baseball. It's a premier goalie in hockey, and it's okay. a quarterback in football.
Okay, so then why, if they have this great athlete who's just untapped potential at quarterback, was he a fifth-round pick in return?
Well, I'm not saying even put him as a quarterback. Look at Vrabel. Get creative.
Put him as like a punt returner?
Slash.
Ooh.
No, Belichick turned Edelman into a receiver.
Right.
Why couldn't Vrabel do that?
I agree.
I think
why couldn't
be a receiver
they turn this guy
Cowboys?
Into a receiver? He's 6'5", Curtis.
Joe Milton, according to reports, thought he was better than Drake May. You think he's going to accept being a receiver?
I don't care what he thinks.
Clearly Vrabel did. He said, get out of here.
No. You. Well, that's up to the coach. You don't let
and
him. You don't
Charlie,
let him.
Is that Charlie Ward?
No.
Oh, no, it's Quinton.
The coach's job is to also babysit and manage personalities and be able to do that, in addition to X's and O's. Manage personnel.
Right.
You can't let a rookie tell
you
what to do and how to run your team.
So you want to manage the backup quarterback's personality? Get out of here. Who cares? Like, what are you talking about? Joe Milton's not going to be a receiver in the NFL.
It's possible that he could have been an asset in some way, shape, or form. And
It sounds like he was the only one without the ET. That's why he's gone.
I'm saying he's part of He's a small peg in a big pitcher, Curtis. That's all I'm saying.
So let's not waste time on him. Thank you. Danny, hope you have a wonderful Easter.
All right.
Thank you. God bless.
Danny, you made a lot of sense. I'm sorry Curtis does not agree.
Oh, you think Joe Milton's a back? You can be a receiver?
I think he could have played 10 snaps for you at quarterback and skill position anywhere you put him on the field. That's what I would have done. Let's go to Mark in Florida. Hello, Mark.
Ken, Curtis, my favorite show after the Greg Hill Show. Great job. And Curtis, I have to say, is an underrated part of WEEI. He's amazing. He's witty. I love when he's cynical and grumpy, especially when Principal Dave comes on. It's just radio gold.
That's mostly all the time.
I'm serious. I'm not joking. I think Curtis is an untapped,
very talented
Goldwell. But
troubled
anyway.
But talented, yes.
Yeah, but that's what makes for great radio. I worked at QAM for years with Dave O'Brien. You need guys like that. Anyway, let's get to Cassis.
I
don't mean to just side with Curtis because I love him. Cassis is not a Boston baseball player. That is so obvious. He has to be shipped out in some way, shape, or form. And I know you have to play him a little bit so he starts producing, so he's valuable. But I just can't take it anymore. And he acts like he's an all-star, which is even more frustrating.
Yeah. But to your point, Mark, they've got to get his value up to trade him first, or at least that's the hope. And they will. I think that is a done deal. I think they will move him.
Between him and Swayman, I don't know who's more frustrating to deal with.
Good point. That debate was going on this week. Thank you, Mark. I mean, they'll trade Cassis. I mean, at worst at the end of the season, but I think at the trade deadline.
Danny gets an hour. The guy that likes me gets a hook in 2 seconds.
Well, he seemed to be done. Let's go to George in Warwick. Hello, George.
Hey, guys. Appreciate the show. Love you both together, for sure.
Thank you. Love you.
You know, I love Danny, but boy, guys, fact check me because, you know, the brain's not as sharp as it used to be. But both those Mahomes losses, that offensive line each year has significant losses or subpar offensive linemen by the Super Bowl. The same with Tom Brady at Tampa Bay. Didn't he lose an all-pro center before season started? And I don't think that was it. So, no, I think it starts with the offensive line. And honestly, I don't care how they do it. If this is supposed to be a teaching organization, you know, and developmental, then take your best player at four, but then come up, identify whoever you want, whether it's Connolly, Simmons. You know, that's what this week is about, right, is the intel and the BS trying to sort through it all. Find a partner there, and if you think there's a guy where you can go offensive tackle second and get an impact player or best player, I'm cool with that, you know.
There you
I'd also like to see the two. I'd like to see the two BC linemen end up on this roster somehow, because I think that could be your long-term center and your long-term right guard behind Moses and your safety in case Moses goes down because he's 34 and anything happens.
Right. I mean, Kendall may be one of the best linemen careers, Pete Kendall, the father of the Kendall that is in the draft.
You've got three players from BC.
Pete Kendall was legit for like 10 years in the NFL, one of the great, BC linemen in the pros. I would also say that's exactly right. What Danny was talking about was basically spelling out why you need a left tackle. If the Chiefs didn't have Joe Tooney at left tackle but was at guard, maybe they win that game. And the reason the Eagles won, what was their best position?
Saquon.
No, like as a group of players.
D-line.
The offensive line for the Eagles was unbelievable.
Well, their D-line was amazing.
I mean, but their lines, both of them, were unbelievable.
Yep.
I mean, how many all-pros on their offensive and defensive lines did they have?
Yep, you're right.
So, I mean...
But that tackle's not here in this draft. It's just not. If Joe Alt was there, you'd take him. I would have no beef about it. But Donovan Ezeraku, to your point, I'd be all for that second round.
But Trapillo's great. I mean, mm-hmm. Listen, the reason you take Campbell at 4 is because Vrabel thinks the hand thing is a non-starter, and he can have a hair across his ass and be one of those fiery Patriots. But I have my list. We can do it next.
Oh, you got your top 5 drafts of all since 2001.
Yes.
Oh, good. I want your counter to the Jones and Keefe Friday lists.
Yeah, so we can do that in our final segment.
Before that, let's get Josh in the car in. Hello, Josh.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Great.
What is wrong with Danny, first of all? I don't know what Danny's talking about, but... Second of all, I think obvious thing's obvious that if Abdul Carter is there at 4, you sprint to the podium and you make that pick. I don't care what Philly's offering you. And the other guy that would be Travis Hunter is a sure in if he's there at 4, but I don't think either one of those players are going to be there.
Right.
And then you, if you're going to stay pat at number 4, you don't draft for need. You draft the best football player on the board. Period. End of story.
And that is who?
And in my opinion, that right... You take either Mason Graham or Tyler Warren.
Yeah.
And you have,
sell me on Mason Graham. Is this like Aaron Donald or who's Mason Graham?
Mason Graham is a guy that can control two guys at the line of scrimmage. He can command a double team. He can rush the passer. He can fill gaps and stuff the run. He's a utility knife, a big kid out of Michigan. And I mean, I think that the defense could use that. I don't think that you have that depth on the defensive front that you need.
I don't know, Josh. I think if they do that, now, first, talk out of both sides of your mouth because people want Carter. But if they take Mason Graham, Curtis, people will say Vrabel is stacking the defense and not giving Drake any help, right?
Absolutely.
That will be a very unpopular pick.
It will be unpopular, and there's no chance they do that.
They use a
top 5 pick on a offensive player, without a doubt.
All right. Curtis's top 5 Patriots draft picks since 2001 is list next. Also getting ready for Mago and Shime joining us in 11. How do you think Shime's feeling today?
Great.
And Mago?
Shime and Mago sound great together. I can't wait to hear it.
Shime's going to be on the draft coverage Thursday up until midnight. And then Mago and Shime have 4 hours next week. And you and I, by the way, are taking over the afternoons Tuesday from 2 to 6. So don't miss that.
I cannot wait.
And don't miss the Curtis list next.
AUDACY. Type that into your app search, then download.
This is Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
I'll tell you what, it's been a long time since we saw 75 degrees at Fenway Park for a ball game. That's today, Curtis. This is a banger.
Perfect day. I got to get to this right now.
Get to it.
Okay. Jones and Keefe do a great job. Best show in the midday by far in Boston. Listen every day, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. here on WEEI. Their lists though suck. Like they are really, they have a bumpy road at these, like, I don't know.
You're still rattled by Keith putting 2 wrestling events in his top 4.
You were equally rattled.
Yes. I do not agree.
Okay. Their top 5 draft picks both have Gronk number 1, which, okay. I guess, all time great tight end, Jones, 5-1, Hightower, Light, Seymour, Edelman, Gronk, Keith, Chandler Jones, Devin McCourty, Julian Edelman, Richard Seymour, Rob Gronkowski. Okay, I'm going...
You going 5-1 or 1-5?
5-1.
Okay, number 5.
Deion Branch. Second round. A unbelievable player, Super Bowl MVP.
A rare receiver hit.
Unlocked the offense with Tom Brady.
Out of Louisville.
Out of Louisville, number 5. Number 4, probably sticking on the offensive side of the ball, Julian Edelman, round 7, out of Kent State.
Okay, 4th. Wow, that's low.
Number 3 would be Gronk.
Wow.
Number 2 would be Seymour.
Okay.
And
Wiggy made that pick, by the way.
He did make that pick. And number one, I know this is kind of, you know, strange. I got to go with my man Hightower.
Really?
He is the clutch player of the second part of the dynasty.
Wow.
The two biggest plays without which you don't win those championships, the tackle of Marshawn Lynch on first and goal at the five.
Yeah.
And then the strip sack of Matt Ryan, the Patriots down 16 points. Branch gets the fumble. They get the touchdown. Then it's a one possession game. That is the biggest play of that entire game. Dont'a Hightower was clutch. He was reliable. First round pick, worth every penny. I go Dont'a Hightower.
Two things of note for me. I'm surprised Jimmy G's not on Jones's list. He loves that pick to inspire Brady for the second part of the dynasty. And no Vince Wilfork from either of you, any of you.
Yeah,
I mean that is disrespect. They got a potential Hall of Famer at 21.
But Ted Washington, when he was that spot with the Patriots in the 03, was just as good. Like, I mean,
yeah, but he spanned the dynasty. He's the only player that was there in 04 and then there for
was another one.
Yeah. Okay. It's besides that one.
Right.
Now, both Shime and Mego, I think, are standing by for a little crossover action. We are at the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, by the way, brought to you by Ford and F-Series, best-selling truck for 48 years, an official truck of the Boston Red Sox right here in America. But Shime and Mego, I would ask you two, what do you think of these lists? Top five Pats draft picks since 2001. Any snubs here?
Ken, I'm with you. I love Wilfork. Wilfork would have been number five on my list, probably.
Yeah, and maybe higher. He probably should be higher than that.
Nah. I mean, he only won one Super Bowl, and it was his first year with the team?
No, two. He won 14 in...
Oh, he was here for 14. That's right. Okay, So you did win two. All right, yeah, so maybe higher. I don't think so. I just think defensive tackle isn't impact enough, but like what he meant to the team in the area, I think a lot of people loved him and just kind of who he was. And So that, to me, I mean, that adds to kind of his character and profile.
Is Drake May number one on your list?
Yeah, of course, Ken. I mean, what are we doing here? Actually, no. I correct that. Drake May is number two. Number one will be if the Patriots select Ashton Jeanty next Thursday.
Oh, God.
Now, see, you and I finally agree on something, Shime.
Ooh, you so like Jeanty.
I am a Jeanty guy.
Let's
now.
Go,
if they
Ken.
If they're forced to stick and pick at four, it better than Will Campbell. Curtis is on the lineman. I am very surprised by this.
They've said all along that their plan is we just want to be in a position to take the best player available. If you're at four, the best person available at number four, if Carter and Hunter are gone, is Ashton Jeanty. It's not even close.
Yeah, and who does he remind you of? Is he like LaDainian, or who do we think
no,
he is?
No, I wouldn't say LaDainian. He reminds me a lot of Zeke when Zeke first came out. And
those guys, both winning players, LaDainian and Zeke.
Well, I mean, you know, Zeke came in and ran for, 1,400 yards in his rookie year? Like, it's just, I think he does everything well. One of the things he does better than Zeke did was break tackles. It's crazy. It's like the guy
I like
has,
my offensive players to take the top off the defense, not their spouse when they don't want it.
Yeah, I mean, guys like John Ross could take the top off the defense, and he wasn't all that good. So... I love.
Was that a St. Patrick's Day parade? What was that?
Anyway, what?
The Zeke moment where he pulled the top off of the girl.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Pay attention to the news.
Curtis, that happened like 10 years ago.
I know. That's what I was saying. It wasn't really the news. But nonetheless, coming up today, I have one other question for you. So,
okay, hit me.
If the Patriots at four take Will Campbell,
yep.
What is your level of rage on a scale of 1 to 10?
Six.
Oh, okay.
Because, like, you need offensive linemen. So I get it. But, like, I mean, come on. What are we sticking a T-Rex at left tackle? Like, what are we doing?
Do you think Pats fans agree with you? They probably do.
I think so. I think it was Jones and Keefe do their love it or hate it every week. Or they've done it every day this week. And when they did Will Campbell, they did a love it or hate it. You have to choose one, no in between. And the majority of people clicked hate it. And so I think most Patriots fans, about 60%, would agree that they would not be happy with the pick.
Not as bad. This didn't get the reaction. Mason Graham was the most hated of the selection.
I would agree with that. If they take Mason Graham at four, I will, Curtis, rage meter at an 11. Turn it up to 11.
Now, will you address Fitzy's trade scenario on your program at some point?
We will. Me and Mega will be getting to that around 11:20 this morning.
Okay. Looking forward to it. And I'm sure some Celtics talk in there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And Mago's good column on Mazzulla, best coach in Boston.
Yep.
We talked about that earlier. So
we'll hit on Joe Mazzulla. We'll hit on the Celtics Magic series, the NBA playoffs as a whole. We'll hit on Vrabel's press conference from the week about the draft. And then, of course, Fitzy's scoop from the afternoon program.
All right, Chime. Have a good day. Enjoy your weekend, my friend.
Boys, thank you. Same to you.
All right, Curtis. Good weekend to you. May see you back here for the ball game later
baseball,
today.
Baseball, beautiful day. Enjoy the city of Boston. Great, the hub of the universe. You got the marathon on Monday, the 250-year reunion of the Revolutionary War, and you have the Sox playing the White Sox, biggest weekend series, and the Celtics tomorrow.
Celtics tomorrow for game one. And Greg Hill Show, 6 a.m. Monday morning.
At the Capitol Grill.